Blog Talk Radio.
We give God praise tonight for Word Wednesday in the mighty name of Jesus. God, hallelujah, is a good God all the time. All the time, our God is good. As we go into the Word Wednesday, we're going to open in prayer. We thank God for you and those that would tune in and listen. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing God's Word. So we thank God for meditating, amen, on God's word and allowing God's Logos word to give us revelation that would radically change our lives for the better. So as we pray, we're asking for God's blessing upon our time together. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for another opportunity, God, to come before you and learn of your word. God, we thank you in the name of Jesus as we grow, as we mature, as we, Father God, advance spiritually, that you would get the glory out of our lives. You said your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So we thank you, God. We are all journeying in this thing called life. We have different destinations, God, but hallelujah. We thank you that in collaboration as far as the church, even those who are part of the local ministry here in Hillside, New Jersey, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to bring your name glory into the earth realm. Now, individually and corporately, God, we want to bless you because you already blessed us. So have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. We give God praise. Pastor Anthony is here tonight, and we're going to go into the lesson on tonight. If you can begin to turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter number 13. Tonight I'm talking from this thought or this topic, no more thinking small. No more thinking small. Hallelujah. No more small thinking or no more thinking small. We see so many people, and that's my objective tonight, is to look at some men and women in the Bible that struggle with their new identity in God and struggle with their new identity in Christ. And many of us have struggled and may be struggling with our new identification in Jesus Christ. We believe as a church, if any man be in Christ, according to the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creation or a new person. Behold, I mean, this is definitely happened. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. That is Bible. That is scripture. And we believe it's a fact because God wrote it in his word. Thereby, his word is true. So we strongly believe that as a ministry, hence the name of our church, New Creation Church. Amen. But Pastor and I have seen it in our own lives. We begin to believe that scripture. And even though we were still doing things, coming into the church and coming into salvation, we really believed that we would change people. And that thing began to manifest in our lives. And then God began to reveal to us along the way how we can keep that and maintain that. Amen. So we see, and we're going to look at some people, they struggled emotionally. Some struggled physically. There were others that we're going to look at tonight that struggled mentally. And then even spiritually, hopefully we can get to all of these that I have in mind tonight. All these people that looked at themselves as being smaller than what God saw them. They were thinking small. They understood small. They believed small. And the Bible says, as a man or woman think in his heart, so is he. So we think small. Chances are we're going to keep getting small. Amen. If we think not big in abundance or allow our thinking to be elevated, then God won't be able to do what he wants to do in our life, because God wants to give us something way beyond our ability. I wrote down in my notes, God gives us responsibility over our ability. God. And God gives us the opportunity to co-partner with him to do great things in this thing called life. We can't do it by ourselves. That's why we need God. And we're going to see here, Numbers chapter 13, let's start. I don't want to do too much talking. I'm going to elaborate on these scriptures later. Numbers 13, starting at verse number 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. And every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And I heard a preacher, we're going to see how, we know the story. If you've been around Christianity for any length of time, you know the original intent of God to bring them out of slavery, to bring them out of bondage to Pharaoh, talking about the children of Israel in bondage for 400 years. They prayed to God. They pleaded with God. He sent them a deliverer named Moses who got them, who got Pharaoh to let them go. Now they're in the wilderness on their way to Canaan, the land of promise. But God did not take them the short way to the land of Philistines where they would have fought. But God took them around the long way because he says they was going to fight a battle that they were not ready for. Many of them would have turned back and went back prematurely. So God always knows. God already know what you and I can overcome and what we cannot overcome at different stages in our walk. God knows some of us are not ready to handle certain things. We're not ready to deal with certain things. So guess what? God don't even allow it to come in our path. Don't even allow it to get to us. That's the kind of good God you and I have. But when you are ready, that's why when people say, I can't help myself or, I'm not able. If God allowed it, you can handle it. And we see here delegation, where God told Moses to delegate. You're not going to go into the promised land and see what's going on there, but send out 12 spies to see what's going to happen. And I heard a preacher talking about this saying, every pastor has a vision. And yes, Pastor Rebecca and I, we even have a vision for our church. And that's why we keep going, because God has already showed us what our church is going to be and what it can be. So that's what we're going by. We have spiritual insight of where God is taking us as a church. Glory be to God. And you should begin to, I'm going to talk more about that on Sunday. You should begin to get more spiritually in tune with God, because there's certain things that he wants to reveal to you. There's some things going on in my life right now that I never saw for myself. But God began to reveal things to me as I began to trust him and put faith in him and begin to rely and depend on him. And slowly but surely, he began to show me his will for my life. Amen. My wife always quotes Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil. And we got to remember that God knows what he wants for us. And his plan is much better than our plan. But I believe the reason I wanted to start there instead of going to the end, which I want to focus on, because we're talking about thinking small, where the people saw a situation and they began to think small about themselves. But I wanted to start there to let you know that God is all-knowing. I believe God already knew that Moses was not going to go into the promised land. We know the story where Moses lost his temper and God said, you will not be allowed to go into the land of Canaan, the promised land. So at this point, God is sending Joshua and Caleb and 10 other leaders of the tribes of Israel because he knew they would be the ones to actually cross over. Amen? So we got to know that God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. And he was not going to allow Moses to see something that he was not going to be able to partake of. Now go to number 13, looking at verse number 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel until the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land where you sent us, and surely it does flow with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and all those ites. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled or silenced the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Help us, God. Help us get that mindset. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched until the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eats its inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature or great size. In verse 30, it's going to lead to my topic tonight, no more thinking small. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were, please hear God, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Before they got to this place in the promised land, they did not think this way of themselves. As Moses sent them out to spy the land, they did not think this way of themselves. As God gave them miracle after miracle after miracle, even the 10 mighty plagues to Pharaoh, they saw themselves as mighty because God had their back. Now that they saw something that kind of changed their way of thinking, they began to see themselves as being small. And that can happen to you and I. Sometimes when we're looking at Facebook or we're looking at what our neighbors drive or what our neighbors are doing, we're looking at what our coworkers and our classmates possess, we're looking at sometimes what other people are doing. And the last time I preached, I talked about the danger of comparing and competing with other people because the devil uses that to make us feel inferior and inadequate. And the devil is so strategic in that sometimes the job that we're working on is not the job of our choice, but we need that job to make our ends meet. And yes, you have a destiny ahead of you, but the enemy is trying to reinforce you or reinforcing your mind that it's not going to get any better than this. You're always going to, you know, have less than. You're always going to be less than, or you're always going to be small compared to other people. The devil is a liar. You got to believe by faith that you're a giant in the sight of God. And that's why God, I'm not going to go to Numbers 14, but in your private study, read the entire chapter of Numbers 14, because God ran out of patience with the people of God. He literally ran out of patience with them. I'm not going to read it, but I'm just going to let you know that God already knows what he put in you and me. God knows it's more than potential and possibility. I said God put that thing in you. Amen. So it doesn't matter your level of education. It doesn't matter your gender, whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your nationality. But we got to know that God, if God be for us, who can really stop us? You are unstoppable with God. And that's what he was trying to tell them. You're in the wilderness. I gave you water. I gave you manna. I gave you quail. I brought you out here to test you and to prove you. You did not die in this desert. There's no marketplace. There's no restaurant. There are no resources in the wilderness. And I fed you. I gave you water. I gave you meat to show you that you can trust me. Who is God talking to right there? Some of us, you know, we may not have what we want. We may not be what we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be. I need to say that again for myself, Pastor. I may not be where I want to be. That's as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, but I thank God. I'm not where I used to be. I had low self-esteem. There was a time when my self-worth and my self-esteem and how I saw myself was not as strong as it is today. But glory be to his name. Amen, somebody. God will give you confidence. God will give you a Holy Ghost boldness. God will give you courage that you didn't know before. And when I preached from Joshua chapter number 1, last time I brought the word, come out of that cave, and also Psalm 142, talk about the life of David. David, we're going to see David tonight, and we're going to look at Moses tonight, hopefully Jeremiah and Caleb also. But we got to understand, you're not the first one. If this is you, if God is speaking to you tonight, you're not the first one to feel inadequate. You're not the first nor the last one to have a certain level of fear and being afraid. You're not the first Christian or believer that doubted your ability in yourself. But that's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. That's why we got to fight to get to church. We got to fight to get the Bible study. We got to fight to get the prayer, because the devil knows how powerful the word of God is. He knows if you get this word in you, if you start believing this word, if you start walking by faith and not by sight, God will honor his word in your life. He will heal your sick body. Glory be to God. God will begin to manifest miracles in your life. That's the God that we serve. God wants to bless us. Bible says he placed Adam and Eve in the garden. And he said, and the Bible says God blessed them. What does that mean? God enabled them. God empowered them. God gave them ability from him. That's why he began to give them instruction afterward. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, take dominion. Why did he do that after he blessed them? Because now they were capable of doing what he told them to do. Amen, somebody. So you and I are blessed. Pastor, how do you know I'm blessed? What do you mean I'm blessed? Go ahead and read Matthew chapter number 5, the Beatitudes. Go ahead and read Psalm number 1. Blessed are you when you do these things. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Stand in the way of mockers. The other one, I can't think of it right now. But read Psalm 1. Read Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. This is why I know you're blessed, because Jesus said you're blessed. The psalmist writer said you're blessed. So if they say you're blessed, whom God has blessed, no man can curse. And you got to believe that. I believe that I'm blessed. I just believe that. You know, I know God healed me of cancer, but that ain't my only testimony. I've been using that one lately because I said to people, and I said it to God, and I said it to myself. I even wrote a book about my experience. People may get tired of hearing about my victory over cancer, but I'm not going to get tired of sharing the testimony. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that's all they did with the first century church. Peter, James, and John. My wife wrote about Peter and James. All they did was talk about they walk with Christ, witnessing all these miracles with Christ, witnessing the miracles that they did. That's all they talked about over and over and over and over again. And God added to the church such as to be saved. And we think we got to come up with a new doctrine. No, we do not. Tell people, tell your family, tell your children, tell your spouse what the Lord has done for you. Amen, somebody. As Bill Winston says, say amen to that. Let's look at another person that used to think small about themselves, but then they begin to think big about themselves. Talking about Moses. Because right here, oh, glory be to God. Let me show you how big he thought of himself, and then we're going to go back to when he thought small of himself. If you're still in Numbers 13, I said I'm going to go to Numbers 14, but just look at verse number 18 and verse number 18 to 20 in Numbers 14. Again, try to read the entire chapter on your own. But I just want to look at Moses very quickly to show you how big he became, looking at Numbers 14, 18, and then we're going to backtrack to see him seeing himself being small and thinking small of himself. Numbers 14, 18, the Lord is long-suffering, this is Moses speaking, in great mercy, forgiving iniquity of transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. Verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. Now God, Moses is talking to God, asking God to pardon the iniquity of the people. Pardon the iniquity of these people according to your greatness and your mercy. And as you have forgiven this people, from Egypt even until now. God, this won't be the first time that you forgave them. Moses is kind of bold talking to God. He's having a conversation with God just like a regular person. That's how Moses sees himself now, because God said he talked to Moses face to face. And look at verse number 20, how Moses, you can see how he sees himself now. And the Lord God said, I have pardoned according to your word. According to your word, Moses, I have forgiven these people once more. Moses was a bad man. For God to honor Moses' prayer, I'm talking about for a multitude, thousands of people that rebelled against God openly. He said, Moses, according to your word, they're going to slide again. Now look at Exodus. Exodus chapter number 4, verse number 10. I pray that you're taking these scriptures and writing them down, because it's going to be a challenge for you and I to no more think small. Things going to come up in our lives. You know, sometimes companies downsize and they let us go, possibly. Something may happen where you may have, you know, in the future, a decrease in income, or something may happen where, you lose the automobile, whatever it may be. I don't like to speak negativity, but I've lived long enough to know that the enemy sometimes can do things. That's why the Bible says, let him who steals, steal no more. And we know that the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So there's some things that he may manipulate and get away from us. But God will get it back to you. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 10. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 10. I'm going to move quickly because I want to get to these other people, and I really want us to see that you're not the first. If I'm speaking to you, maybe you got good self-esteem. Maybe you are mover and shaker. Maybe you're somebody who feel good about themselves. And I pray that you're bringing God glory with that kind of confidence and that blessed assurance that you walk in. But if you're like many believers and sometimes Christians struggle with who they are in God, this word is for you. No more thinking small. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, here's his small thinking. I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto your servant. But I am slow of speech, and I am slow with my tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who has made man's mouth? Or who make the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you should say. And he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of him who you will send, but don't send me. I just added that. And watch verse number 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God got mad at Moses because God knew what he put in Moses. And Moses is having this conversation with God about his inadequacies, about his shortcomings, about what he's not capable of doing. And it doesn't mean that we're living in denial. That's not what I'm talking about. But if God give you instruction, if God give you a command, if God give you direction to do something, that means God is going to make a way for you to accomplish it. Amen, somebody. You know, my wife, I'm not going to We got some things in the work, and my wife showed me a picture pertaining to the church yesterday. And my first thought, I didn't even share with her, but I'm going to talk to her later. I'm not going to share with you either too much detail about it. But my first thought was like, wow, how in the world? And then when I walked away, you know, from what she was showing me, and God had me one-on-one, and God said, is that too big for me to give to you? And I said, no, God, it's not. And that was it. And he dealt with me about my level of faith in him. And I'm believing that God is going to bless our church and do some things that are way beyond the natural. But we got to have our faith up there where God will honor that level of faith. Amen? So I'm believing God for bigger and greater. But Moses saw himself as being small. And we see that Moses got his breakthrough as we looked at Numbers 14, where he no longer said, you know, I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. My tongue is slow. No, he's talking to God. He's articulating, God, you're sovereign. God, you're forgiven. God, you pardon. God, you give grace. God, I know your character. Moses is not stuttering. Moses is not mumbling over his word. Moses is repeating back to God, God's character. And God said, Moses, because of that, I'm going to pardon this people. And if you keep reading, you know, Moses sends Aaron with, God sends Aaron with Moses. Pharaoh does let the people of God go because Moses got to the place where he thought bigger of himself. And that's what God wants from you and I. That's why this is a journey. This walk is a journey. Your process is not my process. Your walk is not my walk. When I look at the life of Abraham, who's not one of the figures I want to look at tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about Abraham on Sunday. But Abraham, the process of Abraham and Sarah. In Genesis chapter 12, God comes to Abraham and say, leave your father's house and go to a land that I'm going to show you. I'm not going to even tell you where you're going. And the Bible says Abraham obeyed God and left. His name is Abraham at that point. And God gives him a promise, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. So guess what? Abraham began to be obedient to God. And the Bible says God imputed that to him as righteousness. And he became a friend of God because he believed God. And God called Abraham a friend because Abraham believed God. And he began to walk in obedience. Now his next challenge of his process was time and patience. He was 75 years old when he got the promise. And throughout his journey, God periodically came to Abraham to remind him of the covenant that he made with Abraham. Now Abraham's almost 99 years old, and God gives him the covenant and the promise again. But not only that, God said to Abraham, your name is no longer Abram, but it's Abraham. Sarai, name is no longer Sarai, but it's Sarah. So at the last minute, at the fourth watch, at 11:59, close to midnight, before God's about to perform this miracle in Sarah's womb, Abraham 100, Sarah being 99, he changed their name. They went through the process of time and patience. They were obedient to God, believing God to the very end, and they got the miracle. But guess what? They didn't see themselves as being that big in the beginning. They saw this big thing that God told them he was going to do for them, but they saw themselves as not being able to pull it off. And sometimes God is saying that to us tonight. As pastors, I got to check myself and go to God and be like, you know, God, help me. Help my unbelief. Amen, somebody. Sometimes you just got to say, God, help my unbelief. God's telling you your child going to be all right. God, help my unbelief. God telling you he's going to turn that marriage around and make it good again. God, help my unbelief. God is telling you you're going to get back on your feet. You're going to have your own apartment one day. You're going to own another home one day. You're going to have another business one day. God, help my unbelief. Because some of us have been knocked down, have been knocked back, have been pushed back, and been stepped over. The Bible says he'll cause men to ride over our heads. I think it's Psalm 112 or something. But then it says, it's only to bring us into a wealthy place. Oh, I'm about to run around my house. I said I'm about to run around my own house. Because I'll cause men to ride over your head, but then I'm going to bring you into a wealthy place. And I got to be honest with you, as a pastor, you know, we can act like we're invincible. We can act like things don't hurt us and bother us. We may not rehearse that to you because, thank God, God gives, he should anyway, and I know he's done that with me and my wife. He has given us a certain level of grace. There's a certain grace on our life to pastor. We have an apostolic oil on our life, and when that season does manifest, there's the grace there to do that. But God, through that grace, allows a buffeting. My wife talked about that buffer. God is that buffer that allows the enemy not to do so much damage to our lives. And as pastors, we have been hurt sometimes by the sheep. But there's a grace. Come on, somebody. There's a grace that allows you to love unconditionally. There's a grace that allows you to care unconditionally. There's a grace that allows me and my wife to have a compassion on the people of God who are members, who are former members, who are maybe future members. Because he said, I'll give you pastors after my own heart. And Pastor and I have a heart for God's people. And I thank God he put that in us. Because I used to have a heart of stone. I know it's hard to believe. I had a cold heart at one time. I had an uncaring heart at one time. Amen, somebody. So I know what it's like to be a cold person. I know what it's like to be a person that don't care about other people. And trust me, I done lived there, done that. I know what it's like to think about yourself and only yourself. But God gave me a new heart. Oh, glory. God gave me a new mind. Thank you, Jesus. God gave me a new way of thinking where I don't have that small thinking anymore. And sometimes, you know, people have abused power and people have, you know, put some people in a certain predicament where some people have low self-esteem and low self-worth and low self-value because somebody bigger than them, more powerful than them, somebody more richer than them, somebody more smarter than them, somebody more influential than them, made them feel small, belittled them, talked down to them, disrespected them, humiliated them. And sometimes, even as I look at our government today, I'm not going to get into that debate, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, but sometimes what I see in our politics, what I see in our government, public humiliation, public degrading, just belittling people publicly, strong-arming, and it's like, what's going on, God? And some people may never recover from certain things, but you got to know who you are in God. You got to know that God called you for a time such as this. Amen, somebody. And this faith walk is not easy for any of us. You know, people say, well, Pastor Anthony, you know the Bible pretty well. You know the Word of God pretty well. Guess what? For 30 years, I ain't know nothing about nobody's Bible. For 30 years of my life that God had gave me, I ain't know jack about his word. Nothing. Zero. But when I got and became a Christian, he placed a hunger in me for the word. I can't take no credit for that. God put that in me early on. So, and then he gave me this thing called retention where I do have a very good memory. And I thank God he gave me that. But we all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. We all have different qualifications that God wants to use to bless the kingdom, to bless this world. So we got to know that God don't want us to think small. The Bible says, it's not in my notes, but we need to see it. Pastor Rebecca and I, we're faith teachers. You know, we wouldn't call ourselves word of faith, but we do teach a lot on faith. And look at Hebrews 11:1 very quickly. And then we're going to keep looking at some people that thought small about themselves. But now, in the end, see, we get to look at all of this stuff. We get to see those that used to be where we were, see the end of their lives, and now you and I have the opportunity, before we meet Jesus, to do something with the 1, 2, or 5 talents that he has given us. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse number 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Finally, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. People wonder why you come to prayer so much. They wonder why you come to Bible study so much. They wonder why you go to church so much. Because the Bible says those that diligently, not casually, not occasionally, those that diligently seek after God, He rewards. So never think coming to Bible study, coming to prayer, coming to church is a lost cause. Never think that it's a waste of time. That's the devil talking to you. That's another lie from the devil trying to talk to you that Bible study ain't working, church ain't working, prayer is not working. He is a liar, church. People of God, he's a liar, and he's the father of lies. He's trying to talk to your mind. And Pastor Rebecca told us on Sunday, don't give the devil your mind. Don't give the devil your head. Oh, my God. I'm great. Get off topic. Because she wrote a book, You're Better Than That. And that, and kind of my lesson tonight, women that think small or little of themselves, you know, allow or compromise or settle for certain things. And my wife wrote a book, you know, for women to be the beautiful women that they are. And she's getting great feedback from this book, You're Better Than That. And I sold a book to a young lady in Hoboken, Jackie Torres, and she said, Pastor Anthony, I need another book to give to somebody. So that's another, that's a female impacted by Pastor Rebecca's book, and another female that she thought about that may be struggling with how she sees herself, that she want to purchase the book and give it to this young lady as a blessing. Because we all need help. I never became a reader until I met my wife. My wife's sister, Janice, used to tell me, and Jackie and her family, Rebecca used to always read books. We'd be in the park and she'd be reading books. And you wonder why she got 9 books, because guess what? Just like I told you, God gave me a hunger for the word and gave me good memory. My wife writes a lot of books because she read a lot as a young woman. Now she's writing books. And she got me into books and got me into reading. And there were certain things that I read about how to be a better husband, how to be a better pastor, how to be a better man. I read other people's works, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Tony Evans. Reading is fundamental. Amen, somebody. We have to read. We have to keep learning. We have to be lifelong learners, people of God. And none of us know it all. So when we read, especially the Bible, we grow spiritually. But my wife writes a lot of books because she was always a reader, even as a young woman. How we see ourselves determine the level of positive or negative things that occur or come into our lives. How we see ourselves will determine whether we compromise, whether we settle, whether we stay stuck. Because that's what rejection does. I'm not going to get off topic too much. You know, sometimes I like to go all over the place, but I'm going to stay on point tonight with my topic, no more thinking small. But rejection can be a detrimental thing. You know, rejection can be a horrible thing. You know, you ask somebody out on a date and they reject you according to your looks or somebody, you know, for whatever reason, they reject you. Don't want to accept you as a friend. You're a young person and you're being bullied. You're being picked on. All these things try to damage your self-esteem. You know, wearing eyeglasses, being overweight, being a certain color. All these things, being short, being tall. All these things come to try to damage your self-esteem. And you got to, that's why you got to know who you are in God. Let's look at another person, David. Let's go to David. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. And they saw giants. They said the Anaks were chosen of giants and the people in stature. They said we may be 6 feet, 5'10", 5'11", 5'5", you know, 6'5", 6'9". But the giants were much bigger than us. They were physically bigger than us. So not only physically did they see giants that they were smaller than, they thought, you know, that they still was not able to fight even all the Ites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites. They thought they couldn't even beat them in war, the people who were their size and on their level. So they were defeated emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. But let's look at David, who's about to fight a real giant named Goliath. He's about to go against a real giant, and giants do fall. Amen? So let's look at David, how David was overlooked by Jesse when God told Samuel, the prophet, to go down to Jesse's house and anoint one of his sons king, because I'm done with Saul, who keep disobeying me. I'm going to raise up my next king from the house of Jesse. And Jesse had eight boys. He had eight sons. And he brought seven sons by Samuel, just paraphrasing. And God told Samuel, some judge the outward. Man judge the outward, but I judge the heart. God knew David's heart. And he knew David was a man after God's own heart, or would become a man after God's own heart. Because David was a warrior. He played the harp. Can't play the harp unless you... I say that because my granddaughter Nairobi plays the harp. She plays the harp, and it's such a beautiful instrument, but it's kind of a soft instrument. You know, not like an electric guitar that the rock and roll person plays. It's not even a bass guitar where you hear that boom, 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 boom. The harp is that, you know, it's kind of that, not passive, but it's kind of that mellow instrument. So David played the harp. So much so that when King Saul had evil spirits, when David played the harp, the spirits left Saul. So that kind of an instrument that ministers to people. And David was a professional harp player. But right here, we're going to see the warrior David. But there was a time, my point was, because the topic was no more think it's small. Can you imagine David's out back with the sheep? His father don't even consider him. His brothers look like they look like a king. Eliab and Abinadab, they look kingly. Obviously, David didn't look like a king. He was a shepherd's boy. He had a staff. So David may have thought in his mind, I'm not king material. He may have thought small of himself. But that's why God told Samuel, man judge the outward, because they're judging David based on what he looked like. But I judge the heart. So now we're going to see David, who think much bigger than himself. And the people of God, they're running scared because Goliath kept challenging them. You know, somebody come out and fight me one-on-one. I dare you to send a man out here to fight me one-on-one. I'm going to get him a fair one. If y'all take me down, we'll surrender to y'all. Paraphrasing. Goliath is talking trash. And every time Goliath showed up, the army of God fell back and ran away. They were scared of Goliath. Now let's look at 1 Samuel 17, verse number 32. 1 Samuel 17, verse number 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. You're a young boy. And he is a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote, I killed him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and I smote him and slew him. Your servant killed or slew both a lion. Are y'all listening to me tonight? David killed a lion, the king of the jungle. Sometimes we read over that too quickly. Sometimes we don't understand the power that God gives us. God allowed David to kill a lion, king of the jungle. And if there was any animal second, I would say it would be the bear. And a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Go ahead, David. That's a bad dude. That's a bad brother right there. He ain't even deal with Goliath yet, but he said his fate is going to be just like that lion and just like that bear, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. But he had a reason why he was doing it. He wasn't trying to be arrogant or tough or puffed up. That's when our gifts and our talents and our abilities are misplaced, when we think we're better than other people. And we see that with our politics. We see that sometimes the leaders of our nation. Sometimes we see that with people in authority, thinking they're better than poor people, better than those that are, you know, in poverty, better than those who have, you know, maybe dropped out of high school, have not got a high school diploma, addicted to drugs and alcohol, some people who struggle with life, the runaway, the addict, the prostitute, the one incarcerated. Some people make people like that feel so small and so not worthy. And that's why we got a God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Y'all should know this because Pastor Rebecca prays it a lot. You know, sometimes we wonder why we do certain things. We are intentional with the Word of God. She says to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach to the poor, to give chances to those who are in bondage and in prison. My wife prays that prayer a lot because Jesus came for that. He came that if you're poor, you have the opportunity to leave this world rich. Oh, my God, that'll preach. I'm ready to go into preaching mode right there. Oh, my God. If you're bound, if you feel like you're in prison, he came to set the captives free. If you're broken, God came to fix you. That's the God that we serve. Again, I'm not going to get off topic tonight, but I just want to give you a well-balanced gospel, a well-rounded gospel, because God sees you. He knows you may be in a predicament you don't want to be in. God knows you want your own. What's that song? God bless the child that have his own, something like that. God, he already showed you you're going to have a car one day. Stay in faith. God already showed you you're going to be an entrepreneur. Stay in faith. God already showed my wife and I that this church is going to impact this world in a mighty way. So our job is to stay in faith. Pastor Anthony, is that easy? Absolutely not. It's hard to stay in faith. You're believing God for your child, and it looks like they're getting worse than better. You got to stay in faith. You're believing God for a financial breakthrough, and it looks like all heck is coming against your finances. You have to stay in faith. Sickness in your body, and it's been around a long season, and you're believing God for your healing, and God is saying stay in faith. God is saying stay in faith. Let's look at David as we wrap this up, and we're going to probably pick this up next week because there's still some more people we need to look at, and we may get to one more tonight. But it's so many people that used to see themselves as being small. The children of Israel saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw themselves as a little insect. My God, are y'all hearing God tonight? They gave Moses the metaphor. They gave Moses the analogy. They gave Moses the example so he can get a clear picture of how they saw themselves. As a grasshopper, an insect, So they saw themselves real small. And God is saying, let that not be you. We got to mix the word with faith, unless we won't enter in either. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm not going to go there. I might go there because I need to see that for myself again. We make it to the, I want to look at Jeremiah. I want to look at Gideon. I want to look at Caleb. We may pick those up next week because I'm going to close out looking at Hebrews chapter 4. As I said that last statement, I want to end on a faith note. I want to end on a walk by faith note. Before you come to church on Sunday, I want us to walk by faith. From this Wednesday night up until Sunday, I don't know if you got to put your resume back out there. I don't know if you got to get a plan of action, a strategy together. I don't know if you have to get your goals and your dreams back out. But whatever it is, God is telling me to close in Hebrews chapter number 4 instead of looking at Jeremiah, Gideon, and Caleb and some other people that we may pick up next week. Amen? Because I may stay on this topic. No more thinking small, just for one or two, maybe one more week. Might turn into a series. I don't know. God right now is not releasing me to move on to something else because this is not just helping you, but it's helping me. Amen. To God be the glory. We're still in 1 Samuel 17 first because I need us to see this first before we move on. Look at verse 39 and 40, verse 39 and 40 first. And David girded up his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. I'm not going to go back and read it. But Saul gave David his armor to fight against Goliath, and David was fumbling and not comfortable with the sword and the shield and all that stuff. And David took that stuff off. He said, I didn't even touch these. I can't fight in this. Look at verse number 40. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip. And he had his sling in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. God is saying, use what you're familiar with. Use what's already in your hand to get the victory. Amen? I wish I can stay there, but we're going to move on. Look at verse number 47 very quickly. Verse number 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. We always say this battle is not yours, it belongs to the Lord. And David just said that. He said, this battle is not mine, this is God's battle. Look at verse number 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, and David hasted. And he ran toward the army to the Philistine. Goliath is coming toward David, and David runs toward Goliath. That's not somebody who thinks small. Amen, somebody. Say amen to that. That is not a person thinking small, Bay. That's a person that thinks real big of themselves if you run into a giant to fight him. Verse number 49, and David put his hand into his bag. And he took out a stone and his sling it, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he smote the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Verse number 51 says, David ran and got Goliath's sword and cut his head off. And when the Philistines saw that their champion fell and his head was cut off, they began to be afraid of God's army. God want to use you, beloved. And that's why he got to work on our thinking. He got to work on our faith walk. He worked on the disciples. Jesus spent 3.5 years with them to get their faith up to par. In the Old Testament, God, time and time again, showed his children that he is with them. He led them a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. But we're going to close here. I think I'm out of time. Yes, I am out of time, but I need us to just look at this scripture. I'm not going to elaborate, but Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to close out in prayer very quickly. Hebrews chapter 4, no more thinking small. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm just going to read it because I need us to see it. Verse number 1, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as to them. But the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. We'll stop right there. The Bible says we don't want to fall short of God's promise. That word entering into his rest is interpreted simply believing God. God, I'm giving this to you. I'm casting my care upon you, God. God, I'm releasing this to you. This is overwhelming me. I don't want to worry anymore about this. I don't want this pressure. I don't want to stress out over this situation anymore. God, I want to rest. And the only way I can enter that rest is to mix your word with faith. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to rest. Father, I thank you for the word tonight. Continue to bless your people. Faith come by hearing and hearing through your word. So, God, I believe by faith that our thinking was elevated tonight. Help us to see ourselves like you see us. Help us to believe in ourselves at a greater degree. Help us, God, to put feet to our faith and not our fear. So I thank you for prosperity. I thank you for progress. I thank you for us being productive. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sow a seed into our church. Pastor and I are believing God for so many big things this year. And if you're a member, we're all going to do it together. I know you're on the prayer line. You may be in another state. You're part of the church. Wherever you're represented, you're part of New Creation. We thank God for you. But there's some things we want to do, and it's going to cost money this year. So if you can sow and believe God for us and help us with this next venture, this next level of our church, we would appreciate it. We thank God for you. So until Sunday, those of you in the New Jersey, Connecticut, New York area, we will see you in service on Sunday, 12:30 sharp. We start on time. I'm going to say that again. We start our services on time. We want to give God a spirit of excellence every Sunday. We want to give God a spirit of excellence. So we thank God for those of you that will be in service on Sunday, and we will see you. God bless you. Good night, everyone. We thank God for you. Love you. Good night.